according to a number of legal experts, the suspect in a plot to attack a Milwaukee Masonic Center may never face terrorism charges.
Sammy Hamza was arrested by federal authorities last week for illegally possessing two machine guns and a silencer. According to the criminal complaint, he spoke about defending Islam and marching on the front of a war.
And while those statements seem to embody terrorism, this particular case falls into a legal gray area with regards to federal terrorism charges.
For the latest on the case, we're joined by Carrie Spivak, award-winning investigative journalist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Carrie, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. How are you doing?
Good. Well, looking at this, this is something I think a lot of casual observers would say. This sounds a lot like, as described in the criminal complaint, a terrorist plot. But it sounds like you write, it's unlikely that the suspect would be charged with terrorism. Is that right?
That's correct. They'll charge them, but the terrorism statutes themselves, the federal terrorism statutes, are aimed more at the foreign terrorists than this is, I guess, a gap in the law where he would likely not be charged with terrorism.
So some things, if he had done them differently, if the criminal complaint worked differently, would have led to terrorism charges. If he had planned, for example, to attack a federal building. So there are types of domestic terrorism that could be tried as terrorism, but he doesn't fall into any of those?
That's the way it appears now. From what we're seeing in the criminal complaint that was released, it still has to go to grand jury. But from what we've seen and what we've been hearing from sources, it doesn't sound like he hits the bars that you need to hit in order to be charged with federal terrorism.
So,
like you said, if it would have been a protected class or something along those lines, things could have been different.
So that's not to say he's not facing any charges. What specifically is he currently being charged with?
Oh, well, right now the criminal complaint has him on the 5 counts of possessing machine guns and the silencers. Each one goes up to a 10-year max. So, and then there could be some other things that they may be able to come up with. So, no, if they're able to prove their case, he does not walk away. I mean, it's interesting to note both the Oklahoma City bomber, McVeigh, and the Boston Marathon bombing were charged with all kinds of statutes, explosives, so on and so forth, murder. But they were not charged with violating the terrorism statutes.
Now, Oklahoma City, if I recall correctly, involved, I thought, a federal building. So that seems like that's a case where the terrorism charge could have applied. Or maybe that law wasn't in existence yet. I don't know.
I'm not sure if the law was in existence yet because they tightened up the terrorism statutes in order because they were seeing federal foreign terrorists falling through the cracks. It could have been a case where it's a simpler case by bringing it and ignoring it. It's not always a bad thing if they don't charge terrorism. As one of the people we quoted said, you know, if you charge terrorism, it kind of mucks things up for a jury, could make it more complicated. Plus, it gives the defendant the soapbox that he may have been seeking. Where if you charge him with more of a vanilla ice cream type charge, not that they're less serious, I don't want to imply that, but a different type of charge, he doesn't get the soapbox. So all you have to do is prove he blew up the building, he purchased the machine guns or something along those lines.
And Carrie, in among the people you talked to for this story, was there any indication that, you know, we should have the ability to charge, to have terrorist charges in this case? Does anybody feel like there's an absence or a gap here?
Surprisingly, we did not find anybody who said that. And there was a professor that we quoted early on who said that there was a gap. But they weren't saying, they said that it has to be addressed. But because there are other charges, they didn't see it as a huge hole because there's other ways to fill the hole, especially with, shall we say, creative or aggressive prosecutors. But they, you know, we definitely were told there's a gap there.
Talking to Carrie Spivak, he's a journalist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the alleged suspect in the planned shooting at a Milwaukee Masonic Center and what kind of charges could be filed against him, not probably including terrorism charges. You also talked to people, Carrie, about the possibility of conspiracy charges, because this sounds like he was conspiring to commit homicide, in effect. That doesn't seem like it's necessarily on the table, though, is it?
No, because he was conspiring with FBI informants and then who are working at the behest of the agency, so you cannot charge conspiracy in that type of situation.
So if he had plotted with someone else who wasn't an informant, then a conspiracy takes more than one, I guess.
Yeah, it takes more than one, and it cannot be with an agent of the government, with the law, you know, working on behalf of the government.
And another reason that the current terrorism laws don't apply, you write, is that he declared himself to be not affiliated with known terrorist organizations. He said, this is not for ISIS, this is not for Al-Qaeda or anything like that. That could have set him up potentially for terror charges?
Right, and therein lies the gap that we were talking about, the lone wolves. That's where the gap is in dealing with the lone wolves. If he had been hooked up with a foreign terrorist group, then it's a much simpler case for the prosecutors to bring a terrorism charge.
And then hate crimes would be another possibility here, but Masons, they're a fraternal organization. They're not viewed as a target of hate crimes generally.
Right, as we quoted a former prosecutor who hates the Masons. I mean, it's not a protected class. Now, if he was confused and he thought the Masons were somebody else, then there could be a potential charge. They would have to prove it. That would be difficult because now you're jumping into a guy's head and saying, here's what he thought.
So as you said, the charges he does face, will face, are the charges for possessing the machine guns and the silencer. Not legal for him to possess. What kind of defense would there be? Are people looking at the fact that he got these from informants as a possible line of defense?
Yeah, they could try the entrapment defense, which is often tried and often fails. It's awful early. I mean, he has not even been indicted yet, so his lawyers, which would be the Federal Defender's Office, would first be going through the records and trying to figure things out. But the entrapment is one that does come to mind always in these types of cases.
Well, Kerry, when we saw, and I think when everybody saw these headlines last week, it was pretty shocking, the potential for this kind of attack that he was talking about. Do you feel like, do you get the sense that people in Milwaukee are feeling on edge, on alert because of this potential threat?
No, probably because it didn't happen. Because the cops were able to move in there quickly before there was any type of an attack. Again, it's somewhat, I believe it was the closing quote in the story where we quote the professor, who's also a former prosecutor, as saying that the key is in dealing with terrorism, you don't always charge terrorism. You may be charging them for all types of different things. Sometimes the public won't even know. Maybe it's a credit card fraud or something along those lines, but the individual is on a list that they're watching and they just take whatever steps they could to stop them. So you're prosecuting before there's an attack as opposed to afterward.
And what are you hearing from city leaders, from Mayor Barrett and others in Milwaukee in the aftermath of the arrest last week?
There hasn't been a whole lot. It hasn't become a huge political issue. And again, that's probably because they made the arrest before there was any type of an attack. Mm-hmm.
And Kerry, you mentioned this is still early in the game to start thinking about what the defense would look like. Do you know what the timeline is like on when on court appearances, a trial, that sort of thing?
Well, you'd have to figure if they get enough to indict, which I assume they would, the indictment would come within the next week or two, I believe next week. And then you pick it up from there because so far the criminal complaint in the federal system, on this type of crime, a lot of times you'll do a criminal complaint because you want to get him arrested right now. You want to get him off the street for whatever reason in this case because they say he possessed two machine guns. The indictment, which would have more of the meat and gives the prosecutors a little bit more time to dig into it, will come later. Frequently people are indicted and there's never the criminal complaint. In this case, they did a criminal complaint in order to make a quick arrest. So figure an indictment in a week or so, and then you start moving your way through the process. And I'm sure, too, there could be talks about cutting some sort of plea deal at some point.
Kerry, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
No sweat. Have a good day.
That's Kerry Spivak with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, giving us the latest on the suspect at the center of an alleged plot to attack a Masonic center in Milwaukee.